Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
Niall, can they do anything about your height? But there is an operation, as far as I know. You can get, well, I'll ask Dr. David Lucy in a second. But there is an operation you can get where they, I think they break your bones and they stretch your legs. I think, and they re-break them or something. I don't know. Maybe they can make you taller. I don't know. Anyway, one man who might be able to give me the answer is Dr. David Lucy, the beauty doc, who joins me on the line. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. Pleasure.
Look, you know, everybody is talking about injectables and changing themselves. I suppose the Madonna picture didn't do it any justice, by the way, after the Grammy Awards recently, although she says she looks better now. But she didn't look too well after those pictures. I don't know whether she just had some opera or some work done. But we're seeing a massive rise in the amount of people getting stuff done. Why do you think that is?
I think there's a number of reasons. One of them is certainly social media, in particular Instagram, that people, you know, especially after the lockdown, that you're kind of getting the numerical feedback on the images that you're putting up, and you can compare that to your peers. So there's certainly a kind of drive towards image over the last few years. But also, I think that it's become more normalized. So even 5 years ago, it was considered a very unusual, a kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge thing that someone was getting Botox. Whereas now, you know, people locally say, you know, they're getting their legs waxed and they're getting some Botox. It's quite a kind of normal phenomenon. So I think that they're the two main factors, but it has become normalized. And, you know, and you've seen that kind of trend now in men as well, that men, you know, even 3 years ago, you know, you would see very few men, and the men that you did see were usually kind of overtly gay men. Whereas now it's actually more kind of ordinary Joes that are coming in, and they're coming in greater numbers and as a greater percentage.
And what are men, I know in you have your own practice in Dublin and you practice aesthetic medicine. What are men getting done primarily? Waxing,
primarily
is it?
Primarily getting Botox done.
Okay.
And sometimes then like filler. So if they've lost a lot of weight, it tends to show in the cheeks. You know,
okay.
Poor jaw definition will be another indication. So, and again, they're starting to diversify a bit, whereas before it was like Botox only, and now they're, you know, people come in and say, well, you know, what can you do for me?
But a lot of the stuff is temporary. Now, you can help me out on this because I don't know too much about it. But I mean, a lot of the stuff is temporary. So if you get, say, a filler done, I don't know, in your cheekbones or whatever it is, or your chin to change the shape of your chin slightly, whatever it is you get your fillers done for, do you have to keep getting that done then?
You don't have to keep getting it done. So, you know, like the longevity is related primarily to the thickness of the filler and the area you're putting it into. So, if you put in the lips using a relatively thin filler, and that would last maybe 6 to 9 months. Whereas, if you put in something, you put in a harder filler in something like the jaw or the cheek, and that could last a year, year and a half. Now, you can dissolve those fillers if for some reason you are not happy with them. Well, there's very few people who do that. I'm one of the few people who does that. But, yeah, so, you know, it's not, you don't have to keep it up, you know, if you don't want to. You know, it does eventually become resorbed. But some people, like with Botox, it lasts 3-4 months.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a bit like kind of, I liken it to iron a shirt, you wear it 10 times, it's always going to be slightly more iron. So there's this kind of myth that if you stop, yes, that you're going to look worse than you did before. You know,
is there any risks to it, by the way? Is there any risks to Botox?
Well, Botox is like, I mean, essentially no risk. It just wears off. With filler, there is like a significant risk in terms of if you put filler into an artery, it can act like a clot. So there have been cases of blindness and of like people getting necrosis, like skin death from it.
And I suppose there's unregulated operators around there too,
well,
isn't it?
This is the great problem is that the enzyme used to break down filler, if you have a problem, can only be done by doctors and dentists. And in truth, there's probably only 2 or 3 of us in the country who do it regularly. So 95% of people who do these procedures can't reverse them. And probably 95% of the rest of them don't really have the skill set to do that. So that it's a real problem.
And do you get many people coming into you with a botched job from somewhere else and say, look at the state of my face, can you fix it?
Yeah, I would see a lot of people, but that's kind of, you know, so special. I'm one of the few doctors who would see other people's complications. So I'd probably dissolve upwards of kind of 150, 200, mainly lifts a year. Now, that's a combination thing. Mostly it's actually the people who've gone too frequently. Now, you could also blame the practitioner who's, you know, not telling them that they've had too much. But quite often that they've gone back too frequently and had too much for the size of their lifts. And so eventually, if you do that, it will start to migrate outwards. And that's how you get, get these kind of duck lifts, you know?
And do you, like you and your staff, obviously, you have to make, obviously, ethical decisions as well around the fact that some people may have mental illness when it comes to, say, body dysmorphia and things like that. So you have to make a kind of ethical decision as to whether you should or shouldn't perform certain things on people who want them. I suppose those decisions have to be made.
Yeah, I mean, I work alone, but it's, you know, so that certainly is a phenomenon. And it's not merely an ethical decision because, you know, there's a practical element to it as well. If you treat someone with proper body dysmorphia, likely they're never going to be happy. And so, you know, there's also a kind of self-preservation thing. You don't see them that often. You know, a lot less than you think. Maybe every kind of 3 months you would see someone who's really, you know, I had someone the other week who came in and spoke about their lips looking in the mirror for 23 minutes. And I said to them, you know, at the end, I said, look, honestly, they had it done somewhere else. And they were like very, very mildly asymmetric. And I said, well, look, I got out of it on the other side. And they're like, oh, they're bigger then. Okay, well, I could dissolve. Well, I don't know if I want to get it dissolved. And at the end, I said, look, honestly, I think there's about a 1% chance that you're going to be happy whether I dissolve them or add more. And she was like, well, I actually agree with you. And I said, well, maybe it's just these are the way you are. So, I mean, that's one of the things that you...
When I see celebrities, for example, and you see them and they look ridiculous. Now, I don't. Have you been watching The Apprentice, by the way?
I haven't.
Right, okay, because there's one girl on it. Well, they've all got their lips done, but there's one in particular that has very large lips. They're clearly filled. They look silly. So, I mean, surely to God, they must be delusional if they come in and say, I mean, whatever about getting them done, but some of them just look, they're overfilled. You know what I mean?
So I think one is that in the MO of my clinic is, you know, the beauty doc, which is you only see bad work. If you notice it, it's not good work. Okay, so that's one element. But then on the flip side of that, there are people who go for these kind of overtly large lifts deliberately. And, you know, you could say, well, they look ridiculous. But, you know, in some respects, that's their prerogative, much like if they want to wear something that really doesn't suit them or is, you know, unfashionable, etc. Because it is a reversible procedure, but quite often you see this actually at aesthetic conferences. It's always very interesting to go to aesthetic conference with other doctors, aesthetic doctors, because, and this is, you know, with this Madonna phenomenon as well, is quite often they've had a little bit done, a little bit done, and a little bit done. And each time they're changing maybe 3%, 5%. If you don't see them for 4 months, in fact, they've changed 40%, but they don't realize that. Mm-hmm. And they see a lot of overdone people at these conferences because they're just doing a tweak and a tweak and a tweak and a tweak. And they are not...
They don't see it, yeah.
They don't see this change. But then someone who hasn't seen them for 6 months, like, good God, like, what have you done to yourself? And they're surrounded by people who, you know, are getting the same thing done.
Have you ever done the good God thing? Has somebody ever walked into you and you went, oh, my God.
You know, absolutely, particularly with this kind of dissolving work that I do. But, yeah, you know, it's difficult. If someone comes in, like, again, it's quite driven by your social media. So, you know, my Instagram is basically like, I want to look natural, et cetera, et cetera. So if someone wants to look plastic, fantastic, it's unlikely they're going to come to my clinic. They'll go to a clinic, has that kind of work on display. So I would sort of say to someone, look, I don't think you need any more filler here in your cheeks. They might have counter argument. And then I say, it's very hard to argue with, say, look, I'm financially incentivized to treat you. I'm an aesthetic doctor. I'm doing this 6 days a week. I'm telling you, you know, I don't think you get this. And it's very hard to argue against that.
Okay, if you've seen a picture of me, for example, right? Now, I'm 59. I'm quite happy to go old gracefully. But let's just say I walked into you.
Yeah.
And Be kind here, okay? And I walked in and said, you know, make me look better. I mean, where would I start?
Well, you know, you would be actually a kind of a typical person to come in. Because I know you have a big birthday in September this year.
I have, and yeah.
So that would be quite 60. Often the trigger for someone to come in is a zero birthday. And so, you know, people come in and they say, well, what do I need? And I always say the same thing. It's like, nobody needs aesthetics. What do you want? And it's very important to ascertain what people want, because quite often there's a complex psychology behind it. Quite often there's something that you wouldn't have picked out, but it's someone has said something that when they're a child or something has happened, and they fixated on this. And often that's the most satisfying work, because if you fix that, you know, you will get a very, very happy client. So what I say to people is like, look, what you say, okay, look, I've 60th birthday coming up. I don't want to look like, you know, Joan Rivers here. You know, I just want to like,
or Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke. I was actually trying to think into Mickey Rourke's name. You know, and it's like, you know, I just want to look a little bit fresh, a little bit less tired. So there's a number of things you can do. So from the age of 25, we start to lose fat in our face. Now, you actually have a good kind of bone structure. You know, you've solid bone structure, which kind of holds things up. But we, the kind of architecture faces from fat. And from the age of 24, we start to lose fat, we start to lose a little bit of bone. And so things start going a little bit south. So the thing to do, what I would do new, is I would probably put in a little bit of cheek filler just to replace what would have been there before. And it's quite often, you know, useful to have old photos, which thankfully you already sent me, Niall, because I Googled you then after.
right, so okay.
I'll put in a little bit of cheek filler, and then...
That's not an old photo. I think that photo was only taken last year. And Jane just said, show me a photo there.
Here, no. So you could look at things then, you know, you could do maybe like some Botox for the crow's feet, so anti-wrinkle injections, or something like a Hydra Booster, like something like Profilo, which is like, in essence, a kind of injectable moisturizer, which increases collagen and elastin production and just kind of gives a bit of a glow. The skin. That's often a good one for men, because
injectable moisturizer. That sounds exciting, doesn't it?
In essence, it's something hydrophilic that draws water into the skin, and that's quite often what I recommend to men. Because obviously, men, you want something that's very, very subtle. You want something that really people can't tell. For women, you know, there's a little bit of leeway with that. I think for men, there's a lot less, and so that's a nice one, because it's kind of how the light. It's picked up on your skin, it's very difficult for other people to kind of put their finger on what it is.
I'm looking here, by the way, there's questions coming in, and somebody's just sent me a photograph as well, and I think Jane has sent it over to you, so just while I'm reading this out, you can have a quick look at it, okay? Question for Dr. Lucy. I'm only a young one, 28, but I've had a bit of a double chin, genetics, I think. I was reading that you can get fat dissolved to get rid of it. I'm wondering, is that suitable for all ages, or does it have much, and how much recovering does it have, and how much does it cost? Thanks. Now, we've sent you a photograph of that girl there. She sent us in a photograph.
I'm trying to put this on the speaker. Give me one second here.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Pick that up here.
Okay. So she's a young girl. So she's only 28 years of age.
An interesting one, because, and this is actually, again, an increasing phenomenon. On the face of it, okay, it's one photo. I would say that probably this lady needs no treatment at all. Mm. But, you know, it's from a certain angle. You know, you have to see her in person. But, so it quite often is genetic. I mean, there is, you know, obviously, if you are very overweight, which this lady clearly isn't, you know, that's a different issue. But there, you can get quite stubborn fat there, and it tends to be a genetic thing. So quite often people come in, and their mother has it, and their grandmother has it, and their auntie has it. So there are two things. You can use something. There's a number of products. The main one used in Ireland is called Aqualix, and it's deoxycholic acid. So deoxycholic acid is a chemical that's naturally found in the gallbladder, and basically emulsifies fat, and fat cells are obviously full of fat. Now, the problem with that is that nearly everyone gets swelling, because what you're doing is you're actually destroying the fat cells, and the body kind of takes that as an injury, and you get inflammation, and paradoxically you get swelling, and that swelling can last a couple of weeks. But on the flip side of that, it is a permanent treatment, so it actually gets rid of the fat cells, but it usually takes 2 to 3 sessions, about, you know, 4 to 6 weeks apart. In my clinic, I charge €200 session, which I think actually is quite low, but it's you know, so you have to kind of accept that there is downtime with it.
Yeah.
But once it's done, it's done.
And the cost?
So the cost would be, I think it's €200 for session and €500 for 3 sessions.
Okay.
3 depends. So if you didn't have a lot, maybe one session would do. You know, if you, you know.
Did you get a discount for saying Classic Kids? I'm joking. Okay, stay there for a second. Dr. David Lucy joins me. And if you're interested or you want to know anything about plastic surgery in general, or injectables more so than anything else, he certainly is the expert on it. Let me go to Linda. Sorry, Linda, you have a question there, have you?
Hiya, Niall. So I had a brain hemorrhage 3 years ago, and I had a second hemorrhage behind the eye, which left my eye It's kind of an over, it kind of falls over my eye. I'm very conscious about it because a lot of people have said it to me.
Oh, so what, your eye, is it your eye kind of skin falls down over your eye,
yeah.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I am 51 and, you know, it's just that, that piece.
Are you only young, for God's sake?
Oh, for Jesus Christ, I'm not. I'm not well over the hill now. But I sent you a photo there, Niall, and I'm just wondering if Dr. Lucy could have any advice for me at all.
Okay, well, we'll get the photo to him in a second, but in the meantime, I'm sure he has an idea exactly what you're talking about. So that's obviously this kind of loose skin or fat of the skin has fallen down over the eye. I've seen that a few times, actually, David, with different people.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose I primarily do injectable aesthetics as opposed to plastic surgery proper, you know, which is a, you know, related but kind of different endeavor. But, you know, with what you've described, you know, in essence, that is from nerve damage. And generally, in terms of like the aesthetics world as opposed to proper plastic surgical operation, which they wouldn't be jumping up and down to do with your history, you could use something like COG threads or PDO threads, which are essentially like a suturing thread that you would stitch a wound with, but they have little anchors on them, and essentially put that, you know, from the hairline down, and in essence yank up the.
So is that, does that go the under the skin so you don't see it?
It'll go under the skin, and then you basically pull back on it. But because there's these little barbs, little anchors, once you pull back, they kind of fix in the underlying tissue, and so they prevent the skin from going back to where it was.
Oh, okay.
The other things that you could look at, which again is in the realm of plastic surgery, which is not my field, will be things like, you know, transferring a nerve from a different site, or a kind of a facelift-like procedure or a pulling procedure on that side. But as I said, given this history of, you know, cerebral hemorrhage, it's like our aneurysms. I don't know if the anaesthetist would be jumping up and down to be doing that in a private hospital, which would be like the likely setting, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's what really helped. I've actually seen that before, Linda, where they put these kind of little threads under the skin, yeah. You know, and lift things back up again. It's probably the only way of actually doing it, because I don't think, as Dr. Lucy said there, I don't think injectables would probably work on that particular thing, because all you're going to do then is make it worse, I imagine.
Actually, look, at least I have an answer now, and I have thanks to you.
All right.
I'm just lucky to be here. Thanks, William.
All right, see you. By the way, in relation to what David, one of your own clients had a good story, a recent client who had a severe epilepsy.
Yeah, so I had a lady in at Christmas, and this actually is a good example because, you know, as I alluded to previously, quite often there's a complex pathway. So she came into me and she had an asymmetry in her lips. Now, if you speaking to her, you wouldn't notice, but when she pointed out, you could certainly see it. And she said, look, I know it's not that bad. My husband says it's not that bad. My family is saying, don't worry about it, but it's just really bothering. So she had really severe epilepsy as a teenager. And in one episode, she'd had a grand mal seizure, a very severe seizure, and she bit on her lips for several minutes. And so she had this residual lump 30 years later, which was still bothering the photographs, like looking in the mirror. And so, you know, I examined her. I said, look, I can't get rid of this lump, but like, yeah. If you take that half of the lip, it actually looks normal. It's just not symmetrical. And so what I did was I made a similar lump on the other side, so to speak, and it did look, you know, normal.
At least in the cemetery then, yeah.
And she basically, she broke into tears, and she said, this is the first time in 30 years I've looked in the mirror and feel normal, you know?
Oh, that's and lovely, isn't it? Yeah, well, at least it made her feel good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, like, you know, it's not... So, for instance, let's say if someone has a bump in their nose, you can do kind of what's called non-surgical rhinoplasty. You can use filler to you know, make it straight. And again, quite often that's something that they're like, I know it's not that bad, but someone has said something to them when they're, like, 12 or 13, and it's now 20 years later, and they're like, it's still bothering me. Yeah, I know it shouldn't bother me. Much like people who, you know, have a fear of flying, they know the plane's not going to crash. They can't rationalize it. It's just, it's in there and they can't get rid of it. And when you fix that, there's a huge patient satisfaction with that.
Okay, stay there for a second because I just want to go to Angela as well. Angela, you're on Ireland's Classics Radio. How are you doing, Angela?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Gwen, you have a question. Go ahead.
No, I don't have a question. I sent in a couple of pictures there and I think confirming that when you get Botox, when you get fillers, when you get all of that done, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to look plastic. I've been getting it done now for a few years. And 2 weeks ago, I finally got the lip filler done as well. You wouldn't even know that I got it done.
Well, then what's the point? I'm wondering.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, if it's done correctly, people, you know, you shouldn't be able to tell, really. You know, that's
I don't have a trans tag. You know? I don't have that. My top lip was, you know, generally, anyway, your top lip is smaller than your bottom one. That's the way it's meant to look. But when I smiled, my top lip kind of disappeared. And now it doesn't. But to look at me, people wouldn't know until I go, look, there's the before and there's the after. And they're like, okay, now I see it.
Mm.
You know, and it's the same with Botox. Like, I had so many lines on my forehead for years, since I was younger. You know, frown lines, a line in between my eyebrows, you know, the crow's feet on the side. And people now turn around and go, geez, you don't look, you know, 48. And I'm going, Botox. You know, I've no shame in it. I would tell everyone.
There is a question, actually, that you've just raised about the shame, right? And maybe if I could ask David. David, do women come in who want to hide it from their husband that they've got it done? Is that a thing,
that
or do they tell their husband?
That is certainly a thing. So I think what's interesting is if you take people below the age of 35, they're like, they'll write a review.
That's not Angela.
Put it on Instagram, not a bother. If over 45, they quite often will say, I really like your work. I might tell my sister, I'm not writing a review. And there's this kind of, but that is changing. There's kind of this stigma about it still. Now, in terms of the partners, there's two things. One, sometimes they don't tell the partners because they don't want the partners to know. More often, they don't want the partners to know how much. So,
right, okay.
It's a combination of the two.
Yeah, so the cost. Yeah, how much are you spending, Angela? How much are you spending, Angela?
I'm doing very well because...
Oh, you're buying on eBay and doing it yourself or something,
which I don't advise. The girl here in Clare, because it's down in Clare, that's why, is it okay to mention her name? Because she's not in Dublin taking his business. But she's called AC Aesthetics, it's Alice McGrath.
Okay.
And she is out the door now with lip fillers.
What does it cost you to get your Botox done?
Now, my Botox is different. I don't get that done with her.
Okay, the lip filler then. How much the lip fillers cost you?
The lip filler is $165 per mil.
Per mil? And what's the average amount of mils that you get in your lips?
Well, I got was 0.9 of a mil.
Oh, okay. Is that normal, 0.9 of a mil?
So generally, you know, I would never do more than a mil. And that's, you know, so it's generally I would do like 0.5, 0.75, 1 mil. Range. But I would, you know, for the work that I do, which as I said, is try to make them look as natural as possible, I would never do more than a mil. Now, there are places that do, but I think it's a bad practice, you know.
Yeah.
And so mil would be the kind of upper range of what I would do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear you don't go over the mil, Angela. Question about Botox is something I've recently, about 2 years ago, had a double jaw surgery, not for aesthetic reasons. That's left my upper lip higher than it should be. My teeth are now showing too much. Would Botox, etc., be an option to lengthen the upper lip?
The answer is yes. I can give you a definitive answer on that. So that's what they call a gummy smile. So what you do is you inject, obviously symmetrically on both sides, just below the kind of opening the nose, and it basically just drops. That muscle holds the lip up, and so if you Botox that, it will drop a bit. And so quite often you get people like, well, gummy smile, self-explanatory. People who very used to show all the gums when they smile, sometimes it bothers them. So that's actually quite easy to rectify.
Mm-hmm. All right,
it's a simple procedure, and okay. it would be anti-wrinkle injections.
I look at some of the other questions that we have coming in here at the moment as well. The best aging advice for anybody listening.
Wear SPF.
Stop worrying about it. Stop looking in the mirror. It's probably the best advice.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be wear sunscreen. I mean, that's really that's
just the sun. Really, I mean, I know we've been told this over the last 20 years in particular, and I know it does. But does the sun really? Well, apart from the risk of cancers, does it really damage your skin very badly?
Yeah, 100%.
Is that to do with hydration?
Even in Ireland, because it's like you, even the clouds, it's still getting those UV rays. So it's like that makes that. You know, if you were to do one thing, I would say it would be that.
Yeah.
I mean, hydration is important, you know, get some sleep, et cetera, et cetera. Eat a diet. All that's important, obviously. But if you were to do one simple thing...
That's the lyrics of the song, by the way. You know the song by Baz Luhrmann. If you were to do one thing, wear sunscreen. Yeah. I mean, the whole regulated area I talked about a few minutes ago. I mean, can anybody inject? Because people buy stuff on eBay now. They're buying injections on eBay.
You could do a course in the morning, okay? You could, and decide by tomorrow evening that, like, you're great at doing fillers. And you could open a school the next day, issue certificates, and actually you could get insurance in those certificates. That's how unregulated it is. Like that.
Yeah, the young one down the road that used to do your hair and your spray tan is now doing Botox as well.
Well, the Botox is regulated. There's a bit of...
Oh, is there? Okay, lip fillers. Okay.
Because Botox is a prescribed product, much like hyaluronidase, which is the enzyme where you dissolve the filler. And so that, in this country, only dentists and doctors can do that. Now, there are obviously people who are doing that illegally. But, you know, the HPRA, who are in charge of, you know, drug regulation, are quite strict about those sort of things.
Okay, so it's the lip fillers can be done by anybody.
But with the fillers, they come under a different category. So the prescribed stuff has a bit of €9 meal about it, so they are somewhat regulated. But the fillers are classified as medical devices, like a blood pressure monitor, and they have almost no regulation.
Mm.
So, you know, you can kind of more or less do whatever you want. But as I said, they, in fact, are far more dangerous than Botox. Botox really bars, you know, sticking a needle in someone's eye by mistake. There's really not a lot I can do. It just wears off. And,
yeah.
It's very safe in that regard. Whereas the filler, as I said, if you put them in an artery, whatever that artery is supplying,
okay, kill you.
It can certainly blind you, you know.
Okay, I'll just take a final question here from Kieran. Kieran, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Kieran?
Niall, how are you keeping?
Good. What was the question you want to ask about?
Just had a question for your guest here. I lost a bit of weight there over the last couple of months, and I just had a bit of excess skin there around the belly and under the arms and the thighs and whatnot.
Oh, right, okay.
Mm. And just what to do, really, with that.
I suppose getting it cut off. Now, I know David doesn't specifically do...
I tend to kind of just do stuff in the, you know, head, neck, and maybe the back of the hand. But in answer to your question, really, you know, well done for losing the weight in the first instance. But, you know, usually that is a surgical procedure where you in essence, you know, cut out knee lifts and sew it in a straight line. So that would be a plastic surgeon who would be the person to go for that. But it's, in essence, that's just removal of excess skin. A relatively simple procedure, but I would wait probably a few more months. You know, quite often when you've had a dramatic weight loss, even if you stay exactly the same diet and the same regimen, you will put a bit of that back on, like maybe 20% of the loss over the next 6 months.
Is there a possibility over time too that the skin can, say, I don't know, shrink a little bit over time
not
itself
really,
naturally?
Not really.
Okay.
Because it's kind of, in essence, you're pulling on it, and it's creating more skin. You know, through the pressure, the body is kind of...
So it's lost its elasticity at that stage.
Yeah, it's also elasticity, but you just have more skin, full stop. So it's dealing with that kind of pressure from the elasticity by essentially elongating the skin or creating more skin cells.
Mm.
So I would probably wait another few months until you kind of are happy that you have reached a plateau. And then at that point, if it's still bothering you, I would consult with a plastic surgeon to remove that for you.
Is it bothering you, Kieran?
Ah, a little bit, yeah. But
yeah.
A mate of mine
got it done now. He went abroad, and I'll talk about that in a second. But I mean, obviously, it's an expensive procedure, I imagine, to get done.
It'd be pricey. I don't know. I don't know the prices.
Okay, so are you prepared for that? Prepared for that, Kieran? That it's probably going to be fairly expensive to get done.
To be honest, I don't know. I'm still losing a bit of weight. It was just something I wanted to know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand why you would want to. Absolutely, because as I said, I know a mate of mine that got it done, like yourself. He lost a considerable amount of weight, and he had to get that done on his back, his stomach, I think his legs, and there was a good few places where there was a lot of excess skin, and he got it done, and no regrets. Now I know he got a bit of an infection at the start, but everything else went fine, you know.
Like, one of the kind of most satisfying procedures is actually when people come in, they've lost 6 stone, 8 stone, and the downside is quite often they lose a lot of volume in the face, and the face can sag, because obviously the face has a lot of fat in it. So, you know, if you replenish that lost volume with filler, like, it's very satisfying to do, because you literally knock 10 years off them in 20 minutes, you know, because that's the downside of that kind of... That kind of level.
Of course, yeah, because you're losing so much weight. Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
You can look a bit drawn after it, you know.
All right, listen, thanks for that, Kieran. Just finally, I was going to mention, a lot of people nowadays are heading off abroad. I know probably not so much for fillers and for Botox, but certainly heading abroad to get all sorts of things done to them, including their teeth, the turkey teeth, of course, we talk about on a regular basis. And, you know, and to get liposuction or to get, you know, skin removed. I mean, the advice for people going abroad, it is attractive. The prices are attractive abroad, David. We can't deny
that.
Yeah,
I mean, it is. I mean, I'm actually a medical director of a hair transplant clinic, MHR clinic on Dawson Street. And, you know, so a lot of people have to go to, oh, to Turkey and Greece for that particular procedure. So we have some experience. No, the main thing is if you are going to go over, the difficulty, of course, is if something goes wrong, you're in a different country. And also, there are cultural norms that are different. So, for instance, in the realm of hair transplantation, in Turkey, the fashion is for a lower hairline than we would have here. And so quite often, people have people coming into us saying, look, I'm going to Turkey, and now I look like a Lego man, and can you fix this? And that's a real dilemma for us because we don't, it's not our work. And, you know, we don't want to get involved with that. But, you know, I think if you are going to do that, like, research, you know, the place you're going, read all the reviews, you know, look on forums, see what their qualifications are. And, you know, generally, as in everything in life, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. You know, so I would go somewhere and somewhere that's long-standing. You know, that's not some razzmatazz clinic with a great website and, you know, and nice pictures on the wall, but somewhere that's established for quite a while.
Yeah, well, they're always only going to show you pictures of happy customers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
so I would read the reviews and I would, you know, and ask questions. You know, you can ask questions about their qualifications or you can ask questions, you know, from before and after, et cetera, et cetera. But I would tread carefully because, as I said, you know, if something goes wrong, you're a long way away.
Absolutely. You know, well, look. It's been lovely having you on, and thank you for answering all those questions. I could fill a whole show with people answering questions, but I think the most important thing that you said, by the way, was, and I just need to play this.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of '97, wear sunscreen.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.